This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
You are on a Thursday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where I'm just about ready to hand out some picks.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Football weekend starts in earnest tonight. We've got nine this week.
Nine times.
Consider it free money. We'll run down the card and Graham's gambling a dozen minutes or so from right now. One of those bets might just involve Panthers-Texans. And speaking of that game, as Bryce Young prepares to face C.J. Stroud, you should know that in football circles, nobody's really worried about Bryce Young being a bust. And I'm not talking about Panthers fans overreacting on social media or the fantasy football community that might have Bryce on their fantasy team and they're upset he's not setting the world on fire. I'm talking about people whose livelihood is football. Those people are not concerned with Bryce right now. And that includes the Carolina Panthers. Nor should they be concerned because, after all, they traded up a lot to get this guy and he hasn't really done anything egregious just yet to make you think he's not going to be that dude for you. The real reason why there is some angst around Bryce Young and him potentially being a franchise guy is how good C.J. Stroud has looked early on, and Carolina had the opportunity to pick him. They went through the process. Some suggested that maybe Frank Reich actually wanted C.J. Stroud all along, but David Tepper didn't let him take him. That's not what happened. That's what I've been told all along, not just since this has cropped up with C.J. Stroud getting off to a good start well before it would be convenient to have that opinion. That was being expressed. And here was Frank Reich, I think, handling that subject very well yesterday.
We got the guy we wanted to get. Couldn't be happier about that in every way. And I would say this. I'm happy for C.J. You know, he's had six good games. And I have no doubt he'll have many more good games. But I know this, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks or any position, it's years, not weeks. You know, you can't put a label on a guy after 6 weeks or even a year. My eyes and our eyes were on Bryce Young, and from start to finish. You look at the film, you talk to the man, you get a sense for the leader, the player, and what he is and what he can be and how he fits to what we want to do and the vision that we have as an offense, as a team, and as an organization. We got the guy for us.
If you dig into his tape, it's obvious that he's not playing poorly. Bryce is not playing poorly right now. To be clear, he's made mistakes, even big mistakes. The interception in Detroit that wasn't because of the bad play call, a slip screen to Ian Thomas that Aiden Hutchinson had a freak play on. The one that was down the left sideline, that wasn't good. That's Bryce adjusting to the speed. Same thing for the Jesse Bates mistake in the first game where Bates, pun intended, baited him into an interception. That's a vet, a very good one. A hashtag pro Deke or Deke pro making a play on Bryce. You had the two fumbles, one of which I believe cost Carolina that game against Minnesota. So some have been consequential, but the pros have outweighed the cons. None of it's what's been more glaring when you rewatch these games and you try to break it down and look at it critically and holistically. What's more glaring is the lack of protection and the lack of separation often by the wide receivers. Adam Thielen, he's got off to a good start. Who else receiving has gotten off to a good start? Nobody else. There are at least 10 plays a game where you look at it and say, Bryce didn't have a shot because the protection wasn't there or because at the head of his drop, right when the ball's supposed to be going out, you freeze the video, look around and ask yourself the question, where should this ball go? Who the heck's open? Nobody? Well, darn. Take a sack or throw the ball in an area where maybe your receiver can make a play, but certainly the defender can't not. If you dig into the tape, it's pretty obvious he's not playing poorly. But don't just take that from me. Here's C.J. Stroud saying as much.
I don't honestly and personally, watching the film and watching every game of his, I don't think he's in any way, aspect or form, he's playing bad. That's what people think if you're not winning or like you have a turnover here and there. Bryce is playing some really good football. So I just don't think people watch in depth. Like if you're a quarterback, you know. So I think he's playing really well.
CJ Stroud grew up with Bryce Young in Southern California. Now, with all of that said, you do need the win. And if Carolina loses Sunday, the critics are going to get a lot louder. If you think it's loud right now, let Bryce Young off a bye lose at home to CJ Stroud head-to-head. Let that happen and see how much louder the critics get. Actually, I'll go a step further. Let the Panthers lose the next two games. If the Panthers lose in a head-to-head between Bryce and CJ and the games in Charlotte, and then Frank Reich loses against the team that fired him a year ago, also in Charlotte, while they have their backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew, that's when the conversation turns into, will Carolina win a game this year? That's when the conversation turns into, is Frank Reich about to get the Nate Hackett treatment or the Urban Meyer treatment? That's where that conversation goes. But Carolina has a good shot at winning this week. And at some point, you do need to start winning. And I think we're arriving at that point for Bryce in his rookie year. But in football circles, as you kind of heard from CJ Stroud right there, nobody's really that concerned about Bryce being a bust or Bryce not performing well. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, or on X, that is, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show, who just so happens to be a Hornets hardcore fan. Last night was the opener. How much did you enjoy watching that Charlotte win?
I tell you what, I really enjoyed watching Brandon Miller.
Because
I messaged Dot, who's actually going to join us later.
That's what we call a tease, six-man atomic basketball.
It is, because when LaMelo threw that oop to Brandon Miller, I messaged him. I said, it's almost like that's exactly what we thought it might look like if they drafted Brandon Miller. Oops.
Maybe in the best-case scenario. That's what last night was. Without Miles Bridges, that was the best case scenario for what this Hornets team could look like. LaMelo was not the story last night. He was out there, but he wasn't the story. The post was. Mark Williams, he was the best player on the floor last night for either team. Mark Williams was incredible in this game. Year two out of Duke, 13-15, three steals, the ultimate Debo block where he's just grabbing it out of midair when Trae Young put it up. He had, I think he was plus 19 in this game. So good. PJ Washington showcased why he was worth the three-year extension he got this offseason. 25 points, 12 of 18 shooting. The effort, we're talking about offensive boards, plays that he was making. He was very good in this game. And then you mentioned Brandon Miller, just a solid debut. 13 points in 25 minutes. 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of them being threes, and they were careful with them. The fourth quarter was very interesting to me because this is crunch time. This is a close game. This is a winnable game, and it wasn't perfect. Early in the fourth, he had a play in front of a bench where he threw it carelessly back into play, and it led to a home run layup that put Atlanta in front. But you know what he did right after that? He went on an 8-point spurt, hitting a couple of threes. And at that point, I'm thinking, you keep this guy in the game. You keep him in the final 5 minutes. Steve Clifford decided differently. He decided, nope, we're going to pull him out here. We've liked what we've seen so far. We're going to be careful with him. They put Terry Rozier back in, and Terry had the biggest shot of the game. Had that floater on the left that put Charlotte in front for good, and they won the game. I thought Steve Clifford handled Brandon very well. Brandon, I thought it was a very solid debut where they didn't ask him to do too much, and you saw the flashes that you'd liked to see. And it was just nice to see LaMelo and Gordon Hayward both out on the floor at the same time. Haven't seen that a lot. Both, you know, had busy stat lines, doing a lot of things. A lot of things that help your basketball team win. This is not a bad team when they have their dudes out on the floor. And if Miles Bridges at some point becomes one of those dudes that are out on the floor, then they could become a good basketball team. A team that can maybe even finish with a winning record. But obviously still a lot to figure out before Miles ever steps back on an NBA basketball floor. After another winning week, man, we love the board.
Send me that cash out, fam.
We love the board this week. 9 picks are on the card. 9.
9 times.
And Graham's gambling next.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again. Now back to the drive with Josh Graham.
Three last week, 29-32 on the year.
Send me that cash out, fam.
That doesn't sound very good. I agree, given our standard. Only one losing season and 5, make it 6 years now doing this segment. Went back and looked, WD. This is the 9th week that we've been handing out picks, and we've only had 2 losing weeks. And you might think, well, then how do you have a losing record? Those were really bad weeks.
Atrocious. We went, was that 1-6?
Yeah. Back-to-back weeks.
That'll do it. That'll do some damage.
Here we are, 3 under .500, winning weeks pretty much every other week of the season. So we're going to keep that vibe going. And this is one of our most congested cards that we've given out so far this year. We got 9. 9. Could barely fit it on this piece of paper in front of me.
9 times.
9 picks. Let's do it. Graham's gambling.
If you're not gambling,
come on now, let's talk some money.
You're not trying.
You are so money.
You don't even know it.
But you do.
Let's play some bets.
I'm going to make you rich.
This is Graham's Gambling.
Starting in college, let's go to the home of F-Boy Island, the CW. NC State getting 10 from Clemson.
We suck.
We just got to do it. The Tigers, they don't deserve to be a 10-point road favorite against any ACC team right now. Not with that offense. The Wolfpack is coming off a bye. We're going to trust Dave Doran. We're going to trust the Pack. We're going to trust that defense to keep this game close. And given the fact it's on the CW, where last week Virginia upset North Carolina, and the week before that, we saw an upset as Pittsburgh took down Louisville. Maybe that trend continues and the Wolfpack wins this game and Dave Doran does television interviews where he's, you know, got something in a red solo cup. Maybe that's what we're talking about on Saturday. Wolfpack plus 10.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Louisville facing Duke. Cardinals are laying 4.5. Duke really went for it last week. Really went for it and might have bit them in a major way, pulling Riley Leonard in the second half. Hopefully they didn't do more damage to that high ankle sprain that he was dealing with. We don't know for sure if he's going to play in this game. Even though he played against the Noles, only 1 carry, and that's a big part of his game, the way he's able to run the ball. The fact this is back-to-back road games makes me think that Duke's going to be on the struggle bus, given how much they invested in Tallahassee. Louisville was off last week, so they've been stewing for 2 weeks on that loss in Pittsburgh. I think Brahms' team's going to be ready to go. And I think with a hobbled Leonard or without Leonard altogether, Duke's going to really struggle with back-to-back road games here. I like the Cardinals to lay 4.5 and win this game.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Tulane Rice over 53.5. Maybe it's because I was in New Orleans last week and a lot of people were talking about Tulane more than you would think. I also watched Rice playing on a Wednesday or a Thursday night game, and I was like, oh, that's where JT Daniels is now? The guy who was at USC and Georgia and West Virginia, he's now at Rice, and he's putting up points? And that's where a McCaffrey brother's at, Luke McCaffrey? And this game's in Houston? Tulane, really fun team, ranked in the top 25. Willie Fritz, a great coach. Michael Pratt, gonna score. But I don't know how much defense they're going to be playing, especially on the road. One of these teams probably going to score 40, so I feel like I'm stealing money with Tulane Rice over 53.5, one of my favorite picks of the week.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Don't like laying points that often if you follow this segment through the weeks. But we're going to lay them and laugh when we see a trap being set by Vegas. Oregon, -6.5 at Utah. Utah's fresh off the win at USC. Oh, Kyle Whittingham, what a victory lap it's been for him. They won with their backup quarterback. Now they're at home. One of the toughest places to play is to play up there in Salt Lake City. Not at noon their time, though. not a night game. And Utah doesn't score a lot when they're facing a defense that's half decent. USC's is not. Hasn't been the last couple of years. Oregon's defense is legit. I don't think Utah's going to score a lot. I think Oregon will. And that's why I have no issue laying them in laughing with the Ducks.
Cash up, man.
Last college pick. Let's go to Madison. Let's jump around. Wisconsin is facing Ohio State. Ohio State ranked way up there, fresh off that win against Penn State. I think there might be some hangover factor after that. And one of the toughest places to play is Camp Randall at night, where this game is set. And we're also talking about Luke Fickell going up against his alma mater, a place he used to coach as well. I think Wisconsin's going to make this a competitive night game in Madison. Give me Bucky. Give me the Badgers, plus a big number against the Buckeyes.
Send me that cash up, fam.
To the NFL we go. Yes, we're going with the Carolina Panthers. They're getting 3.5 from the Houston Texans. I love a home dog in the NFL, especially if the number exceeds 3 points. Note this, at Indianapolis, Frank Reich, 4-0-1, coming off the bye as their head coach. This might be the easiest game on Carolina's schedule on paper. What game on paper is easier than facing the Houston Texans at home, especially with them coming off a bye? They're also getting guys back. They're about as healthy as they've been since week one. The Panthers need to win this game. There's going to be a lot of urgency in Charlotte on Sunday as they honor Julius Peppers and Musa Muhammad. Panthers plus 3.5.
Send me that cash up, fam.
The Patriots, they won a game at the last second. The Dolphins lost on Sunday Night Football. Miami might have been exposed in that game. Who have the Dolphins really beaten this year? Not a lot of great wins on their resume. The Eagles might have exposed that, and they got banged up front in that game. Also, we don't know. Jalen Ramsey probably not going to return yet. Xavier Howard, I don't know if he's going to play in this game. They got banged up. Meanwhile, now you're facing Bill Belichick and the Patriots. He's a pretty good coach, that Bill Belichick guy. And New England, statistically, gives the ball a lot to their tight ends, and Miami really struggles at stopping tight ends. Watch out for Hunter Henry and Gesicki. Gesicki, who had that touchdown, and a former Dolphin playing in this game. It's just a huge number. 9.5. Yeah, we'll take New England in the points.
Send me that cash up, fam.
Two picks to close things out that you might like, but you'll probably hate. Seahawks, -3.5 against the Browns. Back-to-back road games for Cleveland. They're not going to win in Seattle with P.J. Walker. Panthers and Houston Roughnecks legend at quarterback going into that madhouse. Seattle, meanwhile, a lot healthier than Cleveland is. Lay the 3.5 points. The Seahawks will win this game and the Browns won't score a lot.
Send me that cash up, fam.
And lastly, the 49ers are on a short week, WD. 49ers might be without Deebo Samuel and Brock Purdy dealing with the concussion. You might be talking about Sam Darnold. And they're facing Joe Shiesty, Joe Burr, and the Bengals. That's why we must take the 49ers and lay the points. 49ers -3 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a bad team on the road. They've gotten blown out a couple of times this year already on the road. San Francisco murders people when they're playing at home. The last two, they've lost. They played on the road. I think they return home, get some home cooking. Sam Darnold, we saw it in Charlotte. When he's well-supported, pretty good. Not bad. I mean, he could play to the Brock Purdy-like level. Give you the Niners -3.
Send me that cash up.
So in review, in college, State +10 against Clemson. Louisville -4.5 against Duke. Tulane, Rice over 53.5. Oregon minus nearly a touchdown up there at Utah. Wisconsin at home plus a big number against Ohio State. And in the NFL, we're taking the Panthers, the Patriots, Seahawks, and the 49ers. Nine picks right there in Graham's Gamble.
Nine times.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Let's go, man.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham.
There's never going to be a time that I'm not rooting for CJ, I guess, outside of, you know, I guess, obviously, I guess maybe this weekend will be the exception.
Nice catch there, Bryce. Never a time I'm going to be rooting against CJ Stroud, except when they're facing my defense Sunday at Bank of America Stadium. We have some useless, semi-useless Bryce Young and coordinator sound to get to in just a bit. B-Dot, the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, will be our guest 15 minutes from now. But we mentioned this a few minutes ago, and the stat is true. Because Jim Boeheim has retired and now is a television analyst for ESPN, and Coach K and Roy Williams are no longer in the ACC anymore either, that leaves one active head coach who has won a national championship. Just one in the ACC. His name is Tony Bennett. And even though he's the head coach at Virginia, he is quite fond of the Triad specifically, and that's where we started our conversation at ACC Basketball Media Day.
A safe place for honesty.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
You won an ACC title in Greensboro, your first. You obviously have been in the league long enough to know how important the Triad is from a recruiting base, too. You recruited Greensboro Day and several schools in the area. Your daughter goes to Wake Forest University. Just admit that you have a soft place in your heart for this area of the universe.
Absolutely. I played for the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes.
And met my wife. She's not from here. My daughter, but more importantly, my daughter graduated from Wake Forest. So,
this year?
Yeah. So
congratulations
she's,
to her.
She's done. But no, certainly. Now, this is a great, great part of the country, and so many good memories I have and so many cool experiences that, and it's, you know, again, I'll give you a cool memory I have. I was playing for the Charlotte Hornets, and the pastor of my church, David Chadwick, who played for North Carolina way back, I might have been engaged at the time, took my wife and I to watch the Greensboro, the championship game when Randolph Childress went nuts. And that was my first, because
95?
Yeah, growing up in Big Ten country, they didn't have the conference tournament, wasn't as significant. It was the regular season. That was everything. And I remember I was going to that game. I played with J.R. Reed, was on our Hornet team, and Mike Jaminski. And those guys would sit there and go back and forth and argue about Duke Carolina. So I got a taste. And then I went to that game with my wife. I'm like, whoa, this is legit, you know. And I think about that often. You know, I've been in, well, we've won two conference tournament titles. We've been in two finals championship games. And, like, just thinking about myself as a, whatever, 24, 25, like, it's amazing. I remember where we sat way up. And so those are good experiences. So, anyway, sorry to talk so much, but it's a good story.
Did you ever cross somebody up with the Hornets the way that Randolph crossed up Jeff McInnes that day?
Hey. No, I wish I probably was crossed up like that many times by Muggsy or whoever, but I just remember, you know, yeah, the excitement of the game. And you talk about an individual performance, it was second to none.
What is dad protocol for Tony Bennett at graduation or like going to a non-basketball sporting event with his daughter? Do you have Wake Forest gear in the closet?
Hey. No, I said, yeah, Virginia's paying the bills, so I'm not putting on Wake Forest. No, I certainly have respect, and it's such a good school. I really mean that. She enjoyed her time, such a great academic school. Beautiful when you get on the campus and seeing it, and she really enjoyed her time. I don't wear the Wake Forest gear, I got to be honest.
Given all that Tony Elliott endured with the football program, how much did you enjoy seeing him win the first ever top 10 road game for Virginia football history in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, a ton. Special because, you know, no one can know but Coach Elliott and those young men and that staff, all they've endured and kind of the, you know, the grieving process. It has a long tail. It really does. And they've been compassionate, and I know they've tried to do everything in the right way, and they've really been competitive and in games. They just haven't been able to pull them out. So to see them go in there and have that success and really just hear him talk about the joy of him observing his players in the locker room, that was emotional. That was powerful.
I got to ask you this on the way out. Tony Bennett is with us, the other Tony here at Virginia. We lost music legend Tony Bennett this summer. You've told many stories of how people mixed you two up. When that happened, did you get any awkward text messages or exchanges?
My
this
daughter
summer?
Said a couple, like, "Oh gosh," you know. I think, but no. And I've met him a couple times, and you know, again, to have the life he had and live as long as he have was amazing. But I think a couple people like, wait a second, they paused for a second, but I wish he was still with us, but certainly what a legacy he left.
We'd all be so lucky. Here's to hoping a few ACC championships from now, when I search Tony Bennett on the computer, that your name will pop up first
like
one
that.
Of these days. Thanks for spending the time. And my wife told me to tell you that she says hi. She's a Virginia
Wahoo
graduate.
Wahoo wah, tell her.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There he goes. Tony Bennett joining us from ACC Media Day. BDOT, the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. I think has just popped into the chat here to join us. We'll play Grammar School in just a bit. It is kind of a crazy stat, Dot, but it's true. Now that Roy, Kay, and Boeheim have all retired, only one coach in this league has won a national championship active, and that's Tony Bennett.
Congratulations. Now step aside. The Carolina boys would like to do a little thing this year. You dig what I'm saying?
Put us
on the list.
We need to talk about those Tar Heels. We'll do that in just a bit before we get to grammar school. But as promised, I'll let you enjoy what we enjoy each week, and that is useless sound from Bryce Young, from the Carolina Panthers, if you're able to actually have this sound where Dot can hear it. Got to figure out the logistics of that. But Bryce Young actually gave us a grammar school type word in talking about C.J. Stroud this week. It's a big week. The Panthers are playing C.J. Stroud. It's Bryce Young, it's CJ on the same field. They grew up together in Southern California. And what a lot of people might not know is they grew up hooping together. Like, they played, you know, in middle school against each other. And apparently they're both like really into basketball. And here was Bryce talking about that.
We probably played in basketball probably even more times than we know. Like, we both grew up playing basketball. So we'd probably been in more tournaments and played against. We talked about being on teams that, like, we played against each other, and like, I don't think either one of us even remember every time. Like, just, you know, just in SoCal. So, yeah, a couple times.
This is a better hooper. Yeah, come on.
We're different. We have different games. Like, I'm more of a point. Like I'm more of a point. He's a shooter. Like, he can shoot. He's got a strap. He's a shooter off the catch type of player. I'm more on the ball. So like, but we've yeah. No, we're. He could hoop for sure.
CJ Stroud's got a strap, BDOT.
Yeah, that means CJ Stroud is the better hooper. Anytime a dude don't come right out and be like, oh no, I give him buckets, that lets you know right there off the rip. He's telling you CJ Stroud is the better hooper.
He's
and
like
big shout out to Vashti. I could hear Vashti ask that question. I could hear her.
Vashti
voice.
Heard from Carolina Blitz does a great job. And you know he loves hoop because he was asked what his game's like, Bryce and CJ's, and he said, my game is a lot like Darius Garland's. That's what Bryce said.
Deep
and
cut.
He said that C.J. Stroud's a lot like Michael Porter Jr. So he's not going like even all-stars. And C.J. was asked about Bryce, too, and said, hey, Bryce, he's a pesty type. Like, he'll hand-check you. He'll foul you when he's playing one-on-one. You can kind of see that.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy that doesn't have the skill set that the C.J. Stroud has. That's the guy that just was in there doing all the little things, as they like to say. C.J. Stroud is a bucket getter. And I'm telling you, he's going to come into Bank of America Stadium and get bucket Sunday, too.
You know who wasn't interested in talking about C.J. Stroud? Our guy, Thomas Brown, wasn't all that interested. And unfortunately, Joe Person, our friend with The Athletic, was on the receiving end of getting rejected basketball style.
Really?
Heard you talk about some of the anecdotes during the pre-draft with Bryce. Do you have any cool ones during your time with CJ?
Nah, I'm not going to touch that one. Again, I got a ton of respect for CJ, and he is playing really well right now. Doing a great job as far as preparing him week in and week out. But there's no doubt that we all are happy about Bryce being our quarterback, and we'll keep building forward with him.
I'm not going to touch that one. Nope. Not going to talk about
it. No pause. I'm not going to touch that one.
That's
I'm not going to touch that one.
It's like when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, what are your thoughts on the Middle East stuff that's going on right now?
I'm not
going
to touch that one.
Hey, Josh, you know, what do you think of the Miles Bridges stuff?
Nah, I'm not going to touch that one.
Good. Try to think. Josh, you know, it's an election year next year. Who are you going to vote for?
Nah, I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to touch that at all. I don't even have one to give you as an idea. Yeah. But I'm not touching
it. No, I'm not going to touch that one.
I'm not going to touch that, yeah.
I'm not going to tell stories. Like, hey, just you hung out with the guy pre-draft stuff. You could tell a story.
No, I'm not going to touch that one. To
you're trying to go viral. I'm not giving you any. I'm not going to touch that. Next question. Next freaking question.
The Panthers are beating the Texans Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, right.
That means they won't now. You. Thanks.
For real, you know it. Every time Josh does that, as soon as he jumped on the on the Tar Heel bandwagon, they lose to freaking Virginia.
Yeah.
I've been on the Tar Heel bandwagon all year. I was the one saying Heisman.
Now he's on the Elliott Cadeau bandwagon, apparently, so now I'm a little concerned.
Elliott Cadeau bandwagon.
Ugh.
Right.
No, man.
That's right. Tell him to stop it.
Chill, man. We don't need your pixie dust. We don't need it. I've told you that for 3 years, man. Stop jinxing us. We don't like it when you fake support us. You are an ECU grad.
I don't support anybody.
You are a contrarian. You are an ECU grad. And none of that is liked by the Carolina family. Please leave us alone, Josh Graham. Please. Let us just be 19th ranked and just go under the radar and you don't like any of our players.
Grammar
Please.
School is next.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
I'm going to let Armando Bacot decide this. Like, what do you want to do about this?
I'll give 15,000 to the drive.
Oh! He was yesterday. Originally, it was 10. Then it became 15. He really wants to get rid of that Armando Bacot drop. It sounds like he says that his teammates give him grief about it in the locker room quite a bit. B-Dot, sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, continues with us. It's amazing what's happened over the last 4 years with the evolution of that drop.
Armando.
But he did say it was cool that we find somebody else to voice it once that drop is officially retired.
Why wouldn't he just voice it himself and save himself $15,000? That is the most obscene. That lets you know that boy is making some NIL money.
That's what I'm saying.
Just throwing
Anytime
around.
Anybody would say, instead of me just saying my name, I'd rather pay you $15,000.
Nobody asked him to kick it up a notch either.
I didn't.
No, he just threw out the, up it up. Make it 15K. Up it by five.
That's it. And he was saying, maybe I could get Travis Scott to revoice it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, boy.
Send me that cash up, family. Send me that cash up, family.
See if we can figure that one out. By the way, got some breaking news into the studio right now before we get to grammar school. The ACC preseason poll is out. It's dropped in the last few minutes. Duke, as expected, picked first in the league. It commanded 51 of the preseason votes. Miami picked second. North Carolina third. Virginia fourth. Clemson rounds out the top five. Interesting that NC State and Wake Forest are the next two, 6 and 7 respectively, on this list. Last place is Notre Dame, second to last, Louisville. Getting to the preseason All-ACC teams, Kyle Filipowski, Armando Bacot, P.J. Hall, Reese Beekman, Norchad Omier is the first team. Second team, Judah Mintz from Syracuse, Nigel Pack, Miami, Blake Henson, Pitt, Tyrese Proctor, Duke, Quentin Post, Boston College. That's your second
Boston
team
College.
Preseason All-ACC. Preseason Player of the Year is Kyle Filipowski, getting a commanding number of the vote, 35 of the 51 votes. Elliott Cadeau is your preseason rookie of the year. I voted P.J. Hall player of the year. I voted Elliott Cadeau rookie of the year. I have Elliott Cadeau as my on the first team. I have Hunter Salas from Wake Forest on that first team as well. Armando was bumped to the second team because I decided to do it like a basketball team rather than just doing the five best players on the first team. So I had Filipowski and PJ edge Mondo in that spot. But that's the poll. That's what we have. Do you have any issues with the way that it was voted?
I'm a little disappointed that RJ Davis' name wasn't mentioned on that second team, but I can sort of understand that. But I think that he'll do enough this year to get on one of those teams at the end of the season. I liked Armando on that number on that first team. I agree with EC. I agree with Filipowski. Filipowski's a dog, man. Like, I definitely believe he's going to be the best player in our league this year. Like, and I'm just looking at the stuff Duke is doing over there. Like, I was looking at Lively last night, just dunking from the free throw line. Dude. He's the biggest guy out there on the floor. Like, he's a freak. And I'm sitting there like, this guy was playing at Duke last year. Like, could have played again this year. Like, they're putting guys in the league that are top-tier talent. And of course, I'm sixth man of Carolina basketball, man, but just hats off to the product of players that they're putting into the league. You look at Paolo Banchero. You look at Cam. He's over there now with the Lakers balling. Like, but again, now we got our guys now. Cole Anthony played great last night, 22-8, yep. And no turnovers. Like, he played well. Like, so I'm not tripping, but Duke, they're doing something different over there, and I don't like it. Okay? I don't like it at all. But Filipowski, I do believe he'll be the best player in the league. I like us at three. I don't have a problem with us at three. I'm glad we're in the top five. And I'm looking to see where VTech finishes up.
You know what Brendan Marks' reaction is from The Athletic anytime RJ Davis gets slandered, such as him not being second team all ACC?
What?
That's his reaction on our – he's become a meme. You could see on our video.
I think you're trying to make him a meme. I think that you're the only one pumping this he's a meme situation.
That's it. Anytime I have a take about Carolina basketball fans respond that way. All right, yeah. Now let's get to grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
I was going to ask. Oh, sorry. I'll let you do your thing.
Yo, back up, bro.
Get out of here.
Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to floors, they have no ceiling. Okay. Big shout to my folks over at Heritage Hardwood Floors.
We're going to a game. We're going to a game at the Gaines Center this year. We're going to make it happen.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. We're going to be teed up this year in the games. I just won a game over there because I'm the alumni coach, and I'm the 3-year in a row consecutive champions. I'm Coach Never Lost. They call me Coach Never Lost.
So my caucastic question was going to be actually more of a grammar school deal, seeing if you knew what a strap meant in regards to basketball. But since we already discussed that, I'll instead ask you, former Tar Heel Zach Gallen, we learn, is going to be starting game one of the World Series tomorrow. Can you tell me who's playing in the World Series?
Ooh, gosh. Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's the team Zach Gallen plays for.
Versus.
See, I gave him that hint. I told him Zach Gallen, and he knew exactly.
Nah, I knew Arizona was in it because I was watching the Phoenix Suns game, and their commentators got excited during the game because they had just won. They had just beat the Phillies, I think.
But you knew the Diamondbacks. You knew the nickname. You knew about the Snakes. That's pretty good.
I don't remember who they're playing. Gosh, I don't remember. I'm going to guess some.
Please do.
The Diamondbacks and the – I don't know.
Texas Rangers.
Gosh, it's Texas. I never would have guessed that either.
Sorry. All right. What do we have?
Disappointment. That's what I have. Did you know that, Isaiah? It was Texas.
Who's in the World Series?
He didn't know. What'd you find?
Disappointment. You had me thinking about the firm where Wilford Brimley's like, oh, you know what she found, Mitch? Heartbreak, Mitch. That's what she found. Okay, what do we have?
The mailbox.
I got four letters, Josh Graham. Your favorite. N-W-T-S. N-W-T-S. What do those four letters mean?
Is one of them a curse word?
Nope.
Because I was going to say not with that bleep, but I don't.
That might be a new one, Josh. You might have made up something new right there.
Yeah, just.
You might have just added to the lexicon.
NWTS 336-777-1600. Do you know this
that's
one?
What that means.
I think so.
Okay, I'm gonna use WD just for time purposes. NWTS.
Nothing was the same.
Really?
To Drake lyric.
Oh, okay. So we're like that. Okay. I'll go
we
with it.
We is like that.
Is that going to be your final answer?
Yes.
Yep.
That is correct.
Wow.
You're
so
welcome.
So what context would you say that?
What context would you say that? Like,
why
if,
would I be texting anybody that?
Say you get a promotion. You get a job promotion. And I say, congratulations, Josh. And you put NWTA. You're damn right. Nothing was the same.
What's next? I already used my lifeline.
All right. How do you respond to this, Josh Graham? If you see me and you trying to see what's up.
I'm out of this.
If you see me.
Isaiah in the background said, Josh.
Can I go to Zay for a hint?
Isaiah, would you like to be a lifeline for Josh? If so, hurry up and run over here.
So say it one more time while he's running over.
All right. If you see me and you're trying to see what's up.
That's what you say?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Just say it.
Skeet.
Oh my gosh, man.
Dot's just trying to get me to say things that WD can now pull and use as potential drops.
Right.
I didn't think it was going to play out that way, but that was amazing.
I should have answered it like Thomas Brown in the press conference, the Panthers coach.
I'm not going to touch that one.
That's what I should have said. Not going to touch that one.
All right.
Okay. There you go. What's next? I'm not going to take credit for that one. Because I would not have gotten it right. I would not have said that. So.
But you used a lifeline. They were your
lifeline. I know, but WD was already a lifeline. So that's just, I'm going to take the L on that. This is for the win.
All right. That artist, the artist that sings that song, she has a color in her name. What is the color in her name?
Just now learned. It's a female who sings that lyric. Trying to think of artists that are hot right now. Ice Spice, people are in on her.
Darn right they are.
It's not a color, though.
Calm down, WD.
Yeah, he does need to settle down. He was listening to Doja Cat. He's like, whoa. Ariana Grande played in the station.
He doesn't know. He's stalling, Jose.
Yeah, he is.
I'm trying to think because I'm trying to think of like newer acts because this is like a newer act. Yeah,
yes, she is.
Like
yes,
Lotto
is
yep. a newer one.
Correct. Her name is two words and one
her
of them
is fantastic. I say it again. What was that last hint you gave me?
I said her name is two words and one of them is a color.
Oh, you've already said that. Okay. I don't know. Everybody in unison. Dot, Zay, WD, say the answer on three. One, two, three.
Sexy Red.
Yeah, Sexy Red. Yeah, Sexy Red. That's her name.
Let me Google Sexy Red.
Oh, wait, don't Google Sexy Red.
I shouldn't do this.
And whatever you do, do not go to Sexy Red's Twitter page.
Whoa! And that's been Grammar School. We both lost this week. It's unfortunate. On the way out, how did you feel about the Hornets last night?
They were everything I thought they were going to be, and we don't even have Miles Bridges yet.
That's the thing. It did seem like that. That was my takeaway. I thought it was the best case scenario of what this team could look like without Miles, where everybody was playing semi-efficiently. I thought Mark Williams was the best player on the floor last night. I thought
so
he was awesome.
You wanted to ask me what I thought and then tell me what you thought. Is what you
no, wanted. I'm sorry about
yeah, that's
that.
That's how this works.
Yeah, it does. Usually, but I'll let you go now.
I liked it though. Brandon Marshall. I like Melo coming on in the second half. I did like Mark being very active. I like JT Thor being active. I like Terry Rozier active, but he got to calm down on those turnovers. And they just look like, and Gordon Hayward is exactly what I thought. When he's healthy, we are a very, very good team. Key word being when he's healthy. Like, as long as he can stay healthy, like, he's tall, he covers a lot of ground. I really like this Tar Heel. I really like this Hornets team. I can't wait to see him tomorrow versus Detroit.
PJ Washington, man.
Woo! A beast. Gave him that money, and he came out and got buckets.
Proven his keep, and usually when guys get paid, you don't see them chasing offensive boards the way that he did.
Right. That was all in the stands, stepping on kids and stuff.
Yeah, and you know who didn't look great last night?
Who's that?
Scoot.
I didn't even get a chance to see Scoot. That's your boy, though. Remember, that's, don't come over. Listen, don't do that, Josh.
I'm not. No, I
don't do that.
I know you dare bring your butt over here
trying to act like you've been knowing we were going to
be doing. Okay, this is the deal. You wrongly said that I was out on LaMelo. I was not out on LaMelo. I was not. In this case, you would be 100% right that I was out on Brandon Miller and in on Scoot Henderson. Like, I would be absolutely positively wrong. I don't act like I'm the guy that won't admit when I'm wrong. We have like Sarah McLachlan music on a weekly basis that tells me when I'm wrong.
You're Josh Graham, G-R-A-Y-A-M.
Two syllables.
You always find a way to stay in that gray area. Like, you're Josh Gray.
I'm not gonna touch that one.
Yeah.
You stay so that way that you're never wrong. You might, if I'm not right, I wasn't completely wrong because, and hogwash to that foolishness. You weren't all the way off on Melo, but you were nowhere near all the way on Melo. I was 100% sold on Melo ball.
I will agree with that. You were more sold on the Melo than I was, but that doesn't mean I was hating on the Melo. I didn't.
You was about 60-40 Melo.
Yeah.
With Brandon Marshall, you was 100% to none.
Brandon Scoop Miller. I loved Brandon Marshall.
I mean, Brandon Miller. Shut up. Can I get out of here?
You know, you joined the show in NWTS.
That part, my boy.
All right. Hey, love you, man. Talk to you next week.
If you see me and you're trying to see what's up.
Later, Zay. See you guys.
You got to finish it. You didn't say it.
Oh, sorry. Ski.
It's terrible. Bye, Dot.
Now comes the moment you have all been waiting for.
All right, whenever you're ready.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham. House rooftop birds, I'm feeding. No deceiving, nothing up my sleeve. No
teasing. I need you to get up a bone again. So get that man what he asking for. Julius Peppers is being honored this weekend. Put in the Carolina Panthers Hall of Honor. When someone asked me what's my favorite Julius Peppers highlight, though, it's not a play on the field that I point to. It's the brief 1 second that I've posted on my X page that you could also find at WSJS Radio, where Julius Peppers is just doing the very mid-2000s shimmy where you have the two arms up in the air behind Nelly. And apparently he was in the car with Nelly too, rolling up to the club in the music video, hot in here. That's the greatest moment of Julius Peppers' career, which is saying something, because Julius Peppers has enjoyed the greatest career in North Carolina sports history. If you think I'm wrong, give me somebody else that tops the North Carolina-ness, creating words here, of what Pep accomplished. Think about it this way. The two most popular sports teams in the history of this state are the North Carolina basketball team and the Carolina Panthers. Those are the two most popular sports teams in the history of this state. Only one man has played for both of them, and that's Julius Peppers. That's probably the case in point argument for Pep. He played for the two most popular teams in the history of our state. Imagine if MJ played at Keenan or played for the Hornets rather than owning them. Poorly. If we're talking about the greatest career in North Carolina sports history, can you top me if I come to the table with Julius Peppers, who played high school football incredibly well, college football making him the number two pick in the draft by the Panthers in 2002, college basketball for the Tar Heels too. And then for the Carolina Panthers, where he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer next summer as one of the guys who, top five in the history of the NFL in sacks. He is our state's Paul Bunyan. Right before the internet really started to take hold, you just heard these stories. And there's some video to back it up, but almost like Bo Jackson, you just hear people say things about him at Southern Nash and what he did on high school fields, what he did in pickup games, what he did in Chapel Hill, and him being in the Nelly music video kind of leads to that legend, you know, as well.
So random.
The Carolina Panthers put out a 20-minute video in honor of Julius Peppers this week, and they talked to Ray Davis, his head coach, the guy who got him to play football back at Southern Nash, and here's one of those Paul Bunyan-esque stories.
I've not seen many athletes in my lifetime to compare to Julius's athletic ability. Number 21 is retired, and we gave him number 21 because that's his shoe size. The biggest shoes we could find was a size 19. It didn't slow him down. He ran just as fast with his toes curled.
He wore size 19 shoes because they couldn't find a 21, and that's why he wore the number 21 at Southern Nash. It's stuff like that. I hear stories. I remember David Garrard was telling me a story how he was playing. He's a little bit older than Julius. They're playing pickup basketball in Durham, and he was told that some guy was going to roll up who was a freshman in college at that point, and I think Garrard was a senior or a junior. And they're like, man, you're going to invite a freshman to play hoop with us? Come on. And then Peppers rolls up, and he's bigger than everybody and just crushed him. Crushed them all. And these are D1 athletes. David Garrard was an NFL player for a long time, even went to a Pro Bowl. So Pep is different. Julius Peppers is going to be honored along with Mohsin Mohamed on Sunday, and that's going to be a very cool deal to follow at Bank of America Stadium. We've got, you'll hear from Clemson coach Brad Brownell in a bit, Tony Bennett a little bit later on, BDOT, sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. Let's peek back to last night in sports. Shout out to Charlotte FC. Last night was the end of the Charlotte FC season, the first time they made it to the postseason in franchise history, this being year two. They lost 5-2 was the final in that against the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah.
3-0 at halftime. They got scored on in the 10th minute pretty early on, and it never really got better from that point on. But still, it doesn't take away from how much of a positive step this season was for Charlotte. And you have more positive things to root for Charlotte now that the Hornets are going to go 82-0. Off to a 1-0 start.
Shut up.
That's something that Eric Collins actually said on the broadcast. It's like, oh, the path for perfection is on. The path for perfection that Charlotte is pursuing. Good for them. They won the game. And here's the thing. Watching hoop late night last night. Boy, I can get the words out of my mouth today. Brandon Miller, he was more impressive than Scoot Henderson was. Brandon Miller, here was the stat line. If you were just looking at this on paper, you'd think, Josh, what are you talking about? This is a reach here. Brandon Miller had 13. Scoot Henderson had 11. I watched the games, though. And I'm telling you, Brandon Miller was a lot better than Scoot Henderson was last night. Brandon Miller, his 13 points was on 5 of 9 shooting, hit 3 threes, played in some crunch time minutes, 8-point spurt in the fourth quarter, did a lot of good things in this game. Scoot Henderson, he had 11. Portland got cooked in this game, though. Was never close in the second half. And here's the thing. Scoot Henderson was a big part of the reason why it wasn't close. He didn't score in the entire first half. Had 4 turnovers in the first half. And 9 of the 11 points he scored came in the final 6 or 7 minutes of this game.
9 times.
That garbage time. Complete garbage time for Scoot. Now, we're not going to leap to conclusions. Same way, we wouldn't leap to conclusions when it comes to Bryce and C.J. Stroud. We're not certainly doing that for basketball when these guys are a lot younger than they are in football. But Brandon Miller looked pretty good last night. Looked pretty good. And that's a very positive thing. And while we're talking about guys who looked pretty good last night, Derek Lively spoiled the Victor Wembanyama debut.
How about that?
Victor got in foul trouble. Got to acknowledge that. San Antonio was in control of this game until Victor started to get in foul trouble. So this is certainly not an indictment on Victor. Luka Doncic had the shot to put them away. But Lively, all over the place. And if you watch, there are a lot of people who watch the NBA but don't watch college basketball. There are a lot of people that watch college basketball that don't watch the NBA. I watch both. And we're usually pretty good when it comes draft time at finding the guy who's not going to be taken in the first five picks and saying, yep, that guy's going to work, and that guy's going to play for a very long time. Usually we pick out one guy. I remember a few years ago, it was Davion Mitchell out of Baylor. Just loved the way he defended. And that guy's a dude in the NBA. One time, I think it was, trying to think of another example of this. I'm still a believer in the guy out of Baylor who had the short hair that's very Cisco-like. His name is slipping me right now. That guy, he's going to be a very good player for San Antonio. But Derek Lively was our guy. Usually it's not somebody that we cover, but this year it was. All in on Lively. Just what you want in the NBA. Rim running, defense. If he could add some scoring, then that's huge. And he scored the basketball last night.
Zion had a good night too.
If Zion's healthy, that is a top four, maybe top five team in the West.
Like he had a moment there.
The only teams I feel comfortable saying are better than the Pelicans and the Western Conference for sure, if Zion's healthy, is Phoenix, Denver, and the Lakers.
You wouldn't put Golden State up there?
Heck no.
Interesting.
If New Orleans is healthy, if Zion's healthy, the Pelicans are better than Golden State is.
I don't know. I think that CP3 thing's going to work.
I don't think so.
I think he gives some maturity to that team.
What's that team need maturity for? They're all geriatrics.
And he can be
maturity.
And he can be a closer. Steph's on the bench.
I love Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I do. But closing from Chris Paul, the guy who's known for playoff chokes, that guy. Again, love Chris Paul, but let's try to be reasonable here.